The Manitoba Association of Christian Homeschools would like to thank the Learning House for sponsoring this recording.
On my legs, and he literally wants to hang on to me, so I can't push him away even if I want to. He is hanging on to Mama. Here's why. He's smart. He figures out if I will sit right next to him all the way through Algebra 2, which is a far stretch for me. I hate numbers. Is that numbers are evil, by the way. I'm a words person. That's why I'm married to a man and he likes numbers. I don't. And so he's sitting next to me, and if I'll stay next to him, he knows he'll get done faster because I gotta, like, let's get this over with. And so he just wants to go outside to play. So he's hanging on to me, and I'm frustrated with him at the changing of the guard because it's not happening. There's no changing of the guard here. He doesn't want to be independent. So I made the X file because I found the middle to be the most challenging. By the way, there was a third kiddo. Guess what I had? I had a golden retriever. So child number three is just precious. She's so, what's the word, malleable. She'll do whatever you want to do, but she's quality time. So she wants to do the work, but not completely independent because she wants to be right next to me, just like the golden retriever. So anyway, all to say, here's my babies. Not really, but it's as if the Lord gave me a cat to homeschool, a monkey, and a golden retriever. I just have to know who are my cat moms out there? There's like three of you raised your hands. It's okay. You're in a place of grace. Okay, just a couple of you. How many of you have monkeys? Oh, lots of hands go up. Are they boys?
Yes.
God love them too. Oh, and he's got big blue eyes, and that worked. Okay, how many of you have golden retrievers? Yeah. You know what's cute about these kids today? They're still kind of these personalities. They're all in their 30s. One's nearly 40. That just dated me. But anyway, how often do you think the cat calls home? Oh, once a week, maybe. Oh, sorry. That's all. The monkey, he calls home, you know, once a week, but he wants to talk a really long time when he calls home. What do you think about the golden retriever? How often does she call? Every single day. But it gets better. She moved across the street. So, but in all seriousness, think about the personalities. They're very different. Love them all. They all cherish me in their own way. But who do you think the grades meant the most to? The cat. Yeah, the cat needed the grades. Who really loved to get grades? Just because. The golden retriever, who needed grades, but didn't really care. The monkey. Yeah, so they're going to be different in how they view this whole thing called grades. It is going to make a difference. Okay, well, that was kind of fun. You learned a little bit more about my family. But let's move on. We can be a wee bit more sophisticated. All right. So, oh, keep going. Okay, here's another assessment tool. So, there is an author named Anthony Gregoric who made this little description of temperaments, a little different from some of the other personality tests I've seen, and I just love it. He would say that people generally think one of two ways. They tend to think in very concrete terms, which is black and white, or abstract, which is all over the place. And then on top of that, people tend to process the things they think in one of two ways. They tend to process sequentially, which means in order, or randomly, where there is absolutely no order. Now, you can probably imagine where I'm going with this. If you were to put together both a concrete and sequential thinker, who do you have? You have a person that's very like a thinker, a doer. They accomplish a lot. This is also a Martha, okay? I do a whole talk on Mary and Martha homeschooling that I think's funny. I don't know about Martha, but I think it's funny because I'm a Mary. So then there's the abstract, random person who feels everything, is a dreamer, and I think this is a Mary at the feet of Jesus because, you know, she broke a giant bottle of perfume at his feet, wasn't thinking of the cost and all that. So the point is that concrete sequential person naturally measures life. Everything tangible to them means something. This is just how they're wired. This is my mother. Oh my goodness, she's just a person. Then the abstract random, they don't measure life at all. They experience it. This person hates routine. Like, I loathe routine. You might think, well, she kind of looks put together. Do you know how long it took me to pick out my convention outfits this year? And if you saw the bedroom at home where I had, like, every pair of shoes I own pulled out to see what it matched. Anyway, it's not, this is a facade. That's my point. I'm really a hot mess. So, anyway, concrete, sequential versus abstract, random, quick pop quiz. Who will appreciate a grade for their work? Of the Marthas, the concrete person, because they want to measure it. How did I do? My daughter, I could trust her to grade her own work. The cat. Do you think the monkey is going to grade his own work? I don't think so. Okay. So anyway, obviously a few are a good mix, but the abstract random person, is a grade really going to mean much to them? Not necessarily. I mean, growing up, I cared a little bit about my grades, but I mean, I was no scholar growing up. I was just a dumb kid. God got hold of me and things begin to mean more the older I get, but no. So those are your temperaments. Real quick, how many of you tend to have little Marthas? Okay, you got some of them, and they really need you to keep lesson plans, much as you might hate them. What about who of you have Marys, your little feeler dreamers? Don't give up on them. I know right now they look so non-promising. but they'll pull it together. My mother used to so worry about me. She's like, Linda, if you would ever focus on one thing, you might be good at it. And it's true. I heeded her advice. And at 40, I started writing The Mystery of History. Up until then, I'm just all over the place. All right. We need to keep moving along. And I have one more just kind of fun. I made this up. Nobody ever understands it. Because it's weird, but bear with me. Somebody out here, maybe two of you will understand this. But in my observation, people are one of two triangles. People wake up in the morning, some of us, with the universe on your mind. Okay? These are Marys, feelers, one lady scowling at me. What? But I feel like I wake up lofty. I wake up truly seeking the meaning and purpose of life. And then eventually I can get to the details that might help me get there. But I can't wake up to details. Ugh, that's like awful for me. Think about some of your kids. Do some of your kids wake up like me and they really just need to figure out who they are and be loved and they need extra cuddle time? Versus when Martha wakes up, my mother, I mean, it's a list. She went to bed with that list. She woke up with that list. I don't have a list, okay? It's not there. And so her day is driven by the details. Now, eventually, she might talk about the universe, but it's really not a very comfortable place for her, okay? Do you understand? Does anyone here understand? Who wakes up with, yeah, and you need a lot of coffee. I need world news. I just have to settle. And here's the good news. While you're homeschooling, you don't get this luxury unless you get up about 4 a.m. But I'm an empty nester now. So that means when I wake up, I can sit. I have a little chaise, like a lounge thing, and I sit. And it's probably an hour and a half before I'm really going to do anything. Because I've just got to spend time with the Lord in His Word and figuring out life. Okay, well, we need to get to grading. I promise this. Where are we? Oh, I think what we could do to help us think about to grade or not to grade, as we do kind of giggle at some of the personality types, let's just talk about the age of kids. And as might already be obvious, because of the X file, the younger they are, the fewer the grades. It's not such a need. The middle student, I'd say, gets more, and the older student will get even more than that. They're going to get the most grades. But let's look even more specifically. I love the younger students in that who has them? We call them the lap years. These children are literally still on your lap, and it's precious and exhausting, and you just pray they sleep at night. But what does that student need? They do need the one-on-one instruction the most because they can't read yet, probably, unless you have a little genius, but that's another problem, right? They need positive reinforcement, not necessarily a grade. Let's say we're sitting next to each other and we're learning a little bit of basic addition, but they get a whole row wrong. Well, I'm not going to give them an F. That's going to be a redo. We need to redo that, honey. Yeah, missed it completely. All right. Third, how about just acknowledgement of work? So stickers on everything, you're their you know, biggest fan, or you're supposed to be their biggest fan. And so you shower that on them with acknowledgement of work. All right, though, let's turn to middle years. Notice literally in the picture, this little girl's too big to be on mama's lap. Now, for me, my kids were in fifth grade when they all passed me in height. I don't know about your kids, but it doesn't take long before they're no longer in your lap. And so what does the middle student need? And who's in the middle years here? Oh, by the way, I love 11-year-olds. They're my favorite age. Something very special happens at 11. They're not easy to live with, but God, I love them. They're just the best. They're so awkward. How do you not love them? Okay, so the middle student, they really do need weaning away from the one-on-one instruction. If you've done your job well, you're beginning to wean them off, see what they can do if you give them a little assignment. So you're testing, monitoring. As a matter of fact, if you're going to give them an assignment because you think they're mature enough or ready, you give them a little assignment, and then maybe you're going to put a grade on it to see where they are and how they're doing. And if so, I would make it fractional. And all I mean by a fractional grade is literally you're going to put, in this problem, this is a page of one of my kids. He's 30 now. He'd probably be appalled. It says 14 at the top, but he got one wrong, so it's 13 out of 14. Now, as simple as that is, this actually accomplishes a couple things. First of all, it's positive. It's not like, oh, minus one. It's, oh, way to go. You got 13 out of 14. That sounds good. Also, if you put that into a calculator, 13 divided by 14, you're going to get 0.928. I know it's a shock. I just gave you all a number, and I told you numbers are evil. But I've given this talk a lot. So what you do with that is drop the decimal and round it. So it's a 93. And then you're like, oh, it's a 93. You kind of sort of know where to go with that. And that's on a grade scale, which we'll talk about in a minute. All right, so fractional grades. Now, let's keep going. I also would say a grade at this age is a good tool to measure their work ethic. Because I hate to tell you, but if they're not doing what you ask them to do when you ask them to do it, you have an obedience issue. They should obey you. Last I checked, nobody's getting paid to homeschool. Has anybody gotten a paycheck? I haven't. I mean, you can pay me in arrears for it, but no, I haven't been paid. So I don't want them to waste my time. I want them to obey. I've looked and studied at what they ought to be learning, and I'm not even a highly structured person, but I don't want them to waste my time. So grades at this age might just be to work on that work ethic, because could they possibly just want to test the system and see, like, what'll she do if I just do nothing? I mean, sure, they're wondering, and they're struggling anyway. They're in middle school. God love them. You know, they're getting whiskers and curves, and they're just a mess. Well, I don't like to give low grades to struggling students. But if I think you're being lazy just to be lazy, I'm very happy to give you a C, a D, or an F real quick, because I want to teach a lesson. Here's a great example, and I have permission to show this from my now 30-something-year-old son. Do you see the top of this paper? He got a 5 out of 15. That's big old F. Now, the story is, if you look at his name to the top left, he has a beautiful name. His name is Kyle Harrison Hobar. He named his son Harrison. I just love it. But on this paper, he called himself Christopher Exotica. Okay, this is a boy. He's in middle school. I don't think he knows what it means. I don't think I know what it means, but it's crude, and it's just not right. And this is who he names himself for the day, Christopher Exotica. So he isn't on algebra, right? So he just skips the problems. What'll happen? Well, I'll tell you what happened. He got an F. And if the F didn't go anywhere, there's no point in taking down the F. But it will go somewhere, we will see later. So yes, 5 out of 15, he got an F because he skipped 26 through 30. Okay, moving on. Well, let's move on to the older students. Who's got older students? Good, good. Lots of you. Because homeschooling's changed. Yeah, we're going a little further down the road with them, aren't we? Well, moving on, they have a lot of the same needs that I just described for the middle student. However, there's a few more. They have a need for purpose. why am I doing it? And I sure hope by ninth grade or so, you're really praying with them about the purpose of their education. We need to know, and that will be important because it will steer them toward a plan. Let's look at a very simple flow chart for what your goals might be. Let's say at least that we would agree they would like to graduate from high school, but beyond that, are they going to start a family or move into a career? And if they are looking at a career, does it need additional education? And if so, how much? Does it need technical school, junior college, university? I mean, we need to start seeing a pattern here. And by ninth grade, you're getting clues, right? And again, some students aren't that bright, but boy, they're creative or innovative. There's a lot of things that they can do. All right, so we tend to measure the plan by counting credits, and I realize that that varies greatly, but let's just give a kind of a little crash course on credits and what they might mean. It depends on where you live, but for us, there was 135 to 180 hours per school year that would define a credit, meaning if a child was in a traditional science class that met 5 days a week for 36 weeks, oh, that's 180. But let's say that student was in a drama class that only met twice a week. And at that many hours, it's say he gets 72 hours. Well, clearly that's not a full credit. So that student would get a half credit on a transcript if you're required to keep them or not. That's just a way to kind of look at it. So all to say, in a homeschool setting, I think to kind of play it safe, if you can spend 4 to 5 hours a week on a subject, I think you are truly can qualify that as a credit. And if you're way less than that, it's a half. If you're way more than that, perhaps it's an honors course, or you need to lighten up a little bit. We all know there's a few courses out there that could take, you know, hours every week. All right, this leads me to another topic, which is accountability. Let's be honest, there's a lot of weight on your shoulders to give them an honest assessment of their work. Sometimes we're not even qualified. There are kids, but be very above board on this, recognizing that if you're weak, this child begs to take the test 15 times, have a cutoff. Yes, maybe you can take it one more time. But the reason being, it's a matter of integrity, that we have enough naysayers that look at us and think we're crazy anyway for teaching our kids at home. But we want to be honest about what they're earning because it's a favor to them. It'll help them determine their next steps. We realize, I think the temptation is to create a high GPA because scholarship money comes with that. But obviously, that's a disservice to a child if they haven't truly earned it. So we've just got to be honest. And if you know you're a softy mom or dad and you may or may not maneuver that well, well, bring somebody else in. You got a mean uncle in the family or an aunt that was a public school teacher. She'll take care of those grades. Yeah. So do what you need to do. All right, time's ticking. I am going to just kind of zip through subjects. Let me just check our time. Oh, good. We're doing pretty well. Okay, subject-wise, let's talk about grades, to grade or not to grade. The first thing I put up is Bible, and I don't know about you, but I think this ought to be a heart subject. This is better modeled than measured, so I didn't really keep a grade in Bible. It was always required. More often than not, we were having a quiet time to start the day. I can always picture the kids, they're sitting in their big, giant, oversized t-shirts on top of the heater, like a vent to keep them warm in the morning. We lived in Ohio. It was cold, not quite as cold as you are, but Bible for us was a heart subject. Once in a while, we used curriculum to instill some certain doctrines. Let's turn now to math. Now, let me say this about math. Math is a stair-step subject, which means it requires mastery at one level to really advance to the next. It's one of those you gotta kind of farm out time to almost work with your students individually or have an older student help tutor a younger student. That's your challenge with math. But let's go back to my kids being a little different. Do you remember the cat? I already told you, she could check her own work. And she was going to do it well, right? I truly could trust her to check her own work. So I taught her what I needed to. We'd work it together. And she's way past me. She's a numbers person. The golden retriever, she's happy to do math all day long, as long as it's on a whiteboard. She just didn't like paper. Fine, we'll do that. I'll work in sand if you want. But just work the problems. You know, the funny thing about math is they just don't want to show you how they got that answer. What is it about that? Just show me. Help me see in your brain. I need to see how you got there. Okay, the monkey. Oh, good Lord, the monkey. So he needed and wanted my assistance. So we came up with a way to share the workload, and it was really kind of simple. We would do a lesson together. I happened to use Saxon Math. That's what was available at the time, and it worked well for them. I never would have survived Saxon Math. I needed something easier. But we worked it together, and then I would assign him problems to solve. But I didn't want to sit with him any longer. I have other kids. So that was his independent work. But what he would do is, if he really was stuck, I didn't want him to be like, "Mom, blah, blah, blah," because I can't go from spelling back to like a math problem. I can't. Maybe you can't. I can't switch gears. So he was allowed to just put a box around a problem he was stuck on. And what it meant is that when I went back to grade that paper, I would take all the boxes out and not count that against him. I would give him, grade him for what he was able to do. But just to show you, I realize that's blurry and you can't read it, but I have to tell you what those little notes happen to say. Question number 12, it says, "This is what Mom said to do," and meaning just put a box around it. He was stuck. Number 18 says, "Don't understand." He's making sure I know. And then number 13 says, "Need help / Mom won't come." And it's true. I'm like, "Pal, I can't switch gears. I'll get back to you eventually." But what it did help us do is on Fridays, he took tests out of the same book, and we would study the boxed problems before his test, work on them some more. I'm not going to ignore them forever, but I can't switch gears in the middle of the day. So that problem, that worked for us. Good news, anything I say up here, you can pick or choose. If it's not going to work for you, don't do it. All right. Let's see. Oh, I do have to bring something up. Let's talk about dawdlers for a minute. Got any dawdlers? Oh, lots of hands went up. Oh, the dawdler. This is what I found. It was my golden retriever. She's the dawdler. In fact, I would say my kids were a lot like appliances. The oldest was like a toaster oven, meaning she cooked pretty well, but then every now and then she caught on fire. You know, that's what toaster ovens do from the crumbs at the bottom. Maybe you don't know that, but that's what mine did. Then the son, the monkey, I would call him like a microwave, meaning he was fast, but that didn't mean it was cooked well, right? Just sloppy. And then the third one was my crock pot. It took her forever to just get started in the morning. I really at once, don't report me, at once I took a little purse strap and I tied her in her chair. Like, just sit, just get started, you know, and then eventually she would do very, very well for me. So she needed a timer. The dawdler needed a timer. Okay, moving on. What am I talking about? Oh, subjects. Okay, let's go back. Oh, gosh, here's one. Language arts. Hello, language arts. This is a sneaky subject. It's not one subject. It's like six. Reading, writing, spelling, vocabulary, grammar, and handwriting. Some would throw public speaking in there, too. So, good luck. No, it may mean you have to pick and choose what you can grade out of language arts. I could never grade it all. I didn't grade spelling. I just gave them a test at the end of the week. I did grade a couple of things, so I'll break some of this down for you. In reading, we just had incentives for them to read. Where we were from, they had Pizza Hut, gave little personal pan pizzas for reading X amount of books. Did y'all ever have that? She's like, somebody. Yeah, I mean, whatever it takes. Then writing, I do have something to say about writing, because I figured out pretty early by their different personalities. One was a dutiful writer. One was a gifted writer. The dutiful writer, she wasn't very good, but she would work hard for me. She'd give me an outline, a cover page, a bibliography, all the things. The monkey, he is so creative. He could write extremely well. But do you think he's going to give me a cover, a bibliography, note cards? No, I don't think so. So I found a way to kind of even the scale for them. So we created a point system, and this is easy to do on a scale of 1 to, I think I did this in 1 to 100. Give me points for like 20 points for note cards, 20 for an outline, 20 for final content, and on it went. Meaning that the dutiful student could earn points by being dutiful. She was rewarded for working hard. The lazy one, who is creative, he's going to get high points for content, but he will be dinged for the fact that he's not really following directions. By the way, I have to brag on him just a minute. When he went to college, his freshman professor accused him of plagiarism because he wrote so well he couldn't believe, especially that this child had been homeschooled. Well, he showed that professor. He was a good writer. All right. Moving on, spelling, because of my own inadequacies, like I said, I gave him a test at the end of the week, but that's about it. For vocabulary, I found one little, oh, there's Ashley's spelling page. So you can see it's just the end of the week grade, and it's fractional. See that? Then vocabulary, I found one little program I liked called WordlyWise. It was just easy, so I graded it. Same with grammar. I found easy grammar. It was easy to grade, so it got graded, kept them moving. And then handwriting, let me just say, in this digital world, don't neglect handwriting, as easy as that would be to do, only because a lot of our founding father documents all over the world are in cursive. Let's make sure they can read cursive. I don't know about your kids, but if Aunt Dorothy wrote them a note in beautiful handwriting, they'd hand it to me. Like, can you decipher this? Like, no, learn cursive. All right. But when they did get out their little handwriting books, I just kept a simple scale of 1 to 4. 4 means it looks almost perfect. 3 means I know this was your best. 2, you really didn't try. Sloppy little monkey. And 1, that was just their worst, or an F, it was incomplete. And there was a few of those too. All right, we need to kind of keep moving. Let's go to science. So science is really a, at least when they're younger, that's a living subject. Ideally, the whole family's in living subjects at the same time. These are subjects that don't, they're the opposite of stair step. I'm going to talk more about that tomorrow. But these are like the subjects you can pull them all in for. And so when they're little, I didn't have to keep a lot of grades on science because it was very experiential. Something's blowing up in the kitchen, something's in the blender. And then my son, the monkey, guess what? He double majored in biology and chemistry. So monkeys grow up too. Then this shows that when I did give him grades, there was a few. There's a smattering of a few grades. This happened to be Apologia by Jay Weil back in the old days. And so there was like a worksheet and a test. So I gave him some, but he's like in eighth grade by this point. And then let's turn to history. I think, too, it's a living subject. But when and if some grades are necessary, you can also do the point system. Reward the dutiful hard worker with some points if they remember things for these quizzes or not. History is full of information that they may or may not keep straight. I'm a living example. It's all written down for me because I wrote it. So anyway, moving on. Let's see. Foreign language. Confession. I just blew it on foreign language. One of the problems is when I was in high school, I did 1 year Spanish and 1 year French. Don't do that. I mixed up all my vocabulary words. And so by the time I was ready to teach the kids, my plate was full. Mama had no more space. So I bought them these cassette tapes. This is a long time ago. And I thought, I'll just give them these tapes. They'll learn Spanish. Well, no. They're failing every little quiz they took, so we had to scrap the whole thing because sometimes you're just beyond your abilities, right? So not to be outdone, I decided the next year we'll go for Latin. Like, that's easy. But the difference was my mindset. I made time for it. I took it with them. I had never had a lick of Latin in my life. That sounded funny, lick of Latin. Anyway, so it was hard. Do you know what they do in Latin? They not only conjugate their verbs, but they conjugate the nouns. The nouns change based on how you use them. It's so confusing. So we did Latin together, but I'm telling you, we took it real serious. We cleared the table. No toys, no snacks, just work. And we actually enjoyed it together because we knew it was beyond us and stretching us. So once in a while, you come across something that works like that. Here's an example of one of Ashley's Latin papers, and it shows one of our challenges. Like if you look down, about 3/4 of the way down the page, you know, every now and then there's like a problem that has 3 parts. How are you going to count that right or wrong? I don't know about you, but I'm not doing thirds. I'm lucky to do half points, much less thirds. So I myself would just count it as half off, even though it was only a third off. Come on. So anyway, we need to keep moving. And what do I have for you next? Oh, let's talk about electives. I hope you have reached the point in your homeschool journey where there's learning and there are some things we got to learn if we like it or not, because we're just being good stewards, right? But then electives are a whole nother category of things that we don't need to keep grades on at all, but they're opportunities. I love electives because now we're talking about experience and exposure. That's really what an elective will do. But let's think about the personality of your students. So let's say you're taking an elective and you have a dawdler. Maybe this dawdler just gets a pass fail. Just wrap it up. Just read the book, watch the movie, whatever. But let's say you have a feeler dreamer. Again, don't make them grade it. Just experience it. They'll remember it for a lifetime. But what if you do have a thinker doer? What if you have a Martha? Well, perhaps she needs a grade for the elective. One way you can keep grades in electives are these if-then grade agreements. This is also a good tool for a student that might have test anxiety and they're just going to crumble to take a test. But perhaps an agreement. Let's say I had an imaginary health course that I wanted them to take as an elective. It would be like, hey, if you'll do number 1 through 3, you're going to earn a C. But if you'll do number 1 through 3 plus 4 and 5, you'll earn a B. But if you'll do number 1 through 7, you're going to earn an A. And in this health course, you know, 1 was reading a book, and then 2 was this, till number 7's like, make us a meal or whatever. So then they earn an A. And then you both sign it. It takes away all objectivity, and either they do it or they don't. And they earn it by work. I like that's not pass fail, that's if then grades. Well, friends, it's time to wrap up this presentation, but I have, of course, some closing remarks and a couple of things. I usually try to sneak in about those grade records. Remember, if you're going to keep a grade, it needs to go somewhere or you've lost the leverage. Remember when monkeys being kind of naughty that day? And so this is just an example of a grade record, and you can see that I'm recording them. They're certainly not filled in every day. At least this was Latin. He didn't get a daily grade. I have another sample. Look, there's Ashley's math paper. Math, being a stair-step subject, got graded just about every day. Not that I did it on the day she did it. I might have a pile I'm catching up on Sunday with coffee. Let's see. Then a grade scale. Certainly, if you're taking fractional grades, how do you break that down? Well, there's a very simple grades with a 4.0 where A is the highest, and that's 90 to 100, for example, and then it goes down from there. But some of you, if you have particularly academic students who might be competing to get into higher institutions, you might go with a more strict grade scale, where then it goes to A plus, A minus, and then you have these like 0.3, 0.7 variations. But you can look this up online. It's all over the place. And that's just another way to do things. I did, believe it or not, make them report cards. Not that that was easy for me, but I just have one little sample here because, again, I'm a Mary, not a Martha, but this is ancient, off of some old computer. But the bottom line is, out of about, this is Kyle's report card, out of about 9 subjects, let's see, most of them just got check marks. 4 of them were letter grades, because that's all that he needed. But I kept the important grades, got real grades. The others got acknowledgement. And you can see this if you want. It's documented. It's real life. And maybe you need that. Again, the cat loved getting a report card. Then the golden retriever wanted a report card to keep up with her older siblings. Not that I thought that she needed it in second grade, but she got them too. And the middle student really needed it in a few subjects. So to kind of sort of wrap this up, there is a place to store your grades. I just call it a date-free lesson planner. So real quick, I kept a notebook that just had these types of things in it, like where I kept their calendar, school rules, columns with subjects, etc., and the grade record sheets. It like all went together in a little binder. Okay, let's talk about some truths. What do we walk away with? Grades can reinforce a work ethic, right? Particularly in middle school. I think grades can help you find problems. If nothing else, let's say there's a series, a spell where they're getting a lot of D's and F's off of assignments that you thought they were capable of doing, but they're not showing you that. Well, that's going to help you just know, do we need some help here? Are there some vision issues, some hearing issues, some concentration issues? So it's going to help you find problems. You're not taking that low grade to punish them. unless you're just being disobedient. You're taking it as a tool. And then I will say grades can certainly help provide guidance for the future. You got somebody way on the top of the chart, make sure that they remain challenged. You got somebody that's going to struggle with grades because that's how God made them. You help them find the places where they're going to succeed. And last piece of good news, it's your homeschool. And God gave you cats, dogs, penguins, I don't know, whatever. Maybe you have a whole different makeup. But I pray that you find your niche on that spectrum, find that sweet spot. I so appreciate you coming to hear me talk about grades because I took off the historian mask. And believe me, I'd rather lecture on the fall of Rome, which I did already earlier today. But I do have 4 volumes of world history. If you just liked kind of the sound of this, I think you'd understand how I wrote. I feel history, and that's how these books came to be. It was a calling for me. And yeah. I don't like to say follow me because I want you to follow Christ, but if you want to stay in touch, you can find me on all these different social media platforms because that's where we are today. I would normally take questions, but we're out of time, so I'll jump down here if you have any questions for me. And I hope to see you in the next session when Bible history and world history meet face to face. It's kind of my signature talk from Volume 1 where we integrate Bible and world history, so I hope you can make it. Thank you so much for joining me.
Once again, the Manitoba Association of Christian Homeschools would like to thank the Learning House for sponsoring this recording. Please visit them at learninghouse.ca.